Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back, I would say, but I guess it's me that's back, so you guys have been here the whole time, unless some other people have made their way around, going to different places, and, you know, checking it out, seeing what's happening. It's nice to, in the sanctuary this morning, the sun is just pouring in through the windows, and if you're used to coming to this building, you know, in the old days, then you know what that looks like and feels like, and it feels almost like a summer day. But we know it's not, because when you walk outside, it's, you know, 40 degrees. But what beautiful weather in the Pacific Northwest when it's like this. So I come back today to a new world. I was gone for 2 weeks. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But for right now, what I want to do is bring us into our meditation with a conscious awareness of the power of meditation and what it actually does. So why do we practice? And you probably know, if you practice meditation, that it does something to your entire life, not just in the few minutes that we'll spend in meditation on Sunday morning, if you have a daily practice, not just in those minutes that you're in meditation, but it opens up a sensitivity and intuition within your very being where you begin to intuit life. You begin to take in the actual life force as direction rather than always coming from the intellectual mind. And that sounds like I can see where that is. But after years and years of meditation, you really begin to intuit life. So maybe you're an experienced advanced meditator, and maybe you're a beginning meditator. And wherever you're at, let's take a moment this morning to get yourself situated first, as always, in a nice, comfortable, open position. And just however it is, even if you're lying down or whatever, just imagine yourself open and close your eyes. So isn't that interesting that in order to open more, we close the outer eyes? It's actually a form of denial, not unhealthy denial, but denial of what the physical senses see. So now, where is your attention? Take your right hand, if you can, and tap gently at the Christ Consciousness Center, right in the middle of the forehead, and just tap there, as if you were calling your attention to that area. And then take your hand and set it back in your lap, and feel the vision from there. And now take the same hand and tap gently at your heart, just in the center of your chest there. Call your attention here with the tap. And then set your hand back into your lap. And feel the intuition here. You might notice that it's vastly different. Now connect those two points out in front of you. Just imagine about 2 feet out in front of your physical body, the heart coming up to meet the intuition at the third eye. And imagine it hitting a sort of prism here, casting light in 1,000 directions all at once. You can feel these light rays go through you and also out into the world. The speed of light, even faster, through the entire cosmos, and then back again. This is the power that resides within you. And so here we are, feeling beyond our physical bodies, feeling into the light of creation, the light of God, which not only surrounds you and enfolds you, but it permeates every aspect of your being. It is only we who frustrate the flow of divine light. So in this moment, we fully allow it. And immediately, every cell is transformed back into its pure holiness, which is perfection. So we let go into this knowing, into this awareness, and into this presence, which is God. All right, now gently come back into the awareness of your physical body and feel its full weight. Bring your hands up, both of them, place them flat on your heart if you can, on your heart center. And silently, or even aloud if you'd like, affirm within yourself, I am grounded. I am centered. I am connected. Thank you, God. Amen.
God. just as I am today, just as I am today.
That was beautiful, thank you. It's nice to be back and to hear the music in our sanctuary again. And someday soon, well, soon's relative, but someday soon we're gonna be back together in this sanctuary. I know that to be true. So for now, we're gonna meet like this and we're gonna do the best that we can, opening up to that divine life. But really, this is how Silent Unity was founded. They learned that you didn't have to put hands on to heal, that you didn't have to be in the same space to heal fully, that you could do it at long distances. So maybe we're being taught in some ways that we A, don't like, and B, don't understand. So if everything is for our highest good, then so is this. So I am a little disconnected from my body today. I'm just gonna say it. I feel like I'm just, what was that? Yeah. Yeah, well, Cindy said I'm still in Hawaii. I'm that might be part of it, but I feel like somebody else is driving the bus. And it feels really good. But what's happening is, you know, I've been working a lot with, like with our meditation, a lot with the pineal gland, opening up the deeper intuition through prayer and meditation. I've really been working on that for many years and listening to some very powerful teachers. And that's what I'm always doing when I'm sharing with you, is I'm not necessarily giving you what I've learned so well as what I'm in the process of learning. And so we get to do that together. I'd love to say to you that I've realized all these things and that I've got it mastered and so I'm giving it to you, but that's not the truth of it. The truth of it is that I'm working on it. But this really cool thing happened that I want to share with you that helps me to understand the power and potency of intuition. And it was very simple. It was this morning, I was gonna go to get in my car and I had my, you know, my bags that I bring to church, and I was gonna set it on the floor in the back seat of my car, and I saw this bee, and it looked like a dead bee, you know, so I don't like to crush things, and so I wasn't gonna just set it on there, so I set my bag aside and I went and got something to usher him off of there because I didn't want to hit his stinger, you know, and as I went to move him, he was curled up, but he said, "I'm not dead." But you know, it was 40 degrees, so he was in frozen animation or whatever. But I got his life force said to me, "Don't crush me, I'm not dead." And so I picked him up very carefully and I went and sat him over where the sun was shining through onto a flat surface. And I thought, well, how interesting that I heard that bee tell me that. Like I heard it right here. And the more that I practice this thing of deep listening, the more that everything is talking. Everything is alive with this divine life. And there's a message that's always in there. And it's one of the great gifts. You know, I did go to Hawaii for 2 weeks, but it wasn't a touristy vacation. We stayed on the side of a 14,000 foot tall mountain called Mauna Kea. And some of you who know the Big Island will know Mauna Kea very well. It's one of the tallest mountains. I think it's the tallest mountain in Hawaii. And when we flew out, I could see all the observatories on top because the unobstructed view to the stars is incredible. And we got gifted with that one night. We got to see the immensity of a clear, moonless night with those stars. It was really beautiful. So we were about 1,400 feet up this 14,000 foot tall mountain. And we were quarantined, so we weren't going to leave for 14 days. And the property is about 100 acres. And there's all these rivers. If you listen to the meditation, you know some of this. All these rivers that come off the mountain and converge on this property, about probably 6 or 7 total at different points. And so they come together and they make waterfalls, and there's all kinds of long, long rivers. And you can hike up them. And it's really fun to hike on these stones and sometimes get in the water. But what's really beautiful about it is there's no garbage, there's no pollution, it's pure. And everything is talking. The You know, the wildlife, the birds and the insects, everything is just talking. And there's a harmony that's there that you can feel. And that's the intuitional nature. Myrtle Fillmore talks about it a lot. It's a feeling nature. And it's what's so wonderful about Charles and Myrtle is she was really a feeling person. Of course, she represents the divine feminine intuition. And Charles was more, you know, he was very, this is the way it is. And she'd say, Charles, can you just chill out on all the intellectual stuff and let's just sit here and feel the garden? And so together, the divine feminine and masculine come together. And I always think about that. So people like me who have been headstrong their whole life, when we come into feeling through intuition, oftentimes I move to tears because the world is so beautiful. God, it's just beautiful. But there, it's because of what's actually beyond it. And that's what I want to try to talk about today. I don't know how well I'm going to do at it, but I already know that we're on task because the exact same Bible verse that was in the Daily Word is in a reading that I have to offer you today. So let's see, what else do I want to say about that? I think I want to start with reading from Charles Fillmore. Obviously, I've not organized this talk. A lot of people know that Charles Fillmore has many books. One of them is this book, The Atom Smashing Power of the Mind. It's a very advanced book for the time that it was written. You know, when I start to read this stuff, it really makes me realize that Charles Fillmore was a seer. He could see well into the future. And he did this through intuition, through the development of it. It wasn't always like that for him. He had to develop it. That's why he's one of my favorite teachers, because I do the same exact thing. He says, the fact is that we have reached a point in race evolution where we are forced to give attention to the refinement of the body. Our religion has too long taught that the body is dust and ashes and that its destiny is to die and to be left to the worms. The deterioration of the body cells must be arrested and a new and more powerful life force injected into the physical organism. This is plainly part of the teaching of Jesus. He said, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. He told his followers that when they went to the upper room in Jerusalem, they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. And then he says this interesting thing that in the original Greek, it said that they would receive dynamic energy, the dynamic energy that gives rise to all of life. He says, all baptisms with spirit impart vitalizing life to the recipient, and the joy of quickened vitality should be felt and retained as part of the physical regeneration. Now there's that word, regeneration. What are we doing? We're literally regenerating the body, and we know through science today that the body that you have now is not the same body that you had. They say 7 years ago, I think it's more rapid than that, but cells are always regenerating, and what keeps them in a certain condition is the process of mind. So he says, the energy imparted by spirit is so tempered that it never injures, but always heals. So think about that. If the life of spirit never injures, but always heals, then where does injury come from? It must be a construct of something. He gives a little hint here where he says, this is not true of the shocks given by mechanical generators, and it's evidenced by the scars they often leave. Think about that with our machines. You know, when we're cutting into things, you know, cutting into the earth, cutting into our flesh, there's scars that are left and they're visible. You can see them. And he says that's why it's different from this divine healing energy. A prayer treatment by an experienced spiritual healer is a baptism with power proportioned to the spiritual understanding of the healer. That is profound. The lowest method of imparting spiritual baptism is by the laying on of hands in prayer. The highest is realizing the Holy Spirit presence and its expression through the power of the Word. Jesus began his ministry by doing the former, laying hands on, but at the end, he sent his word and healed by means of it. Isn't that interesting that Jesus himself, in the Bible story of his life, started out the way that many of us are today? He started out as a young boy. He started out working in the world. He started out studying spiritual teachings. And then he mastered them and became something else, where he fully learned how to lay a hold of a spiritual power, and not only for himself, but to give it to other people. And it's very interesting that he constantly, when he attained the ability to do it, he constantly warned us about not listening. All through there, he says things like, those who have ears to hear will hear, but those who don't will not. And we sort of shoot ourselves in the foot, don't we? We sort of cause our own injury. You know, one of the places that this is very evident is in the way that food on planet Earth is grown and distributed to the masses. And we've talked about this many different times. There's a movie that I know some people have watched. It's called Kiss the Ground. And it's a movie about farming and about ranching and about agriculture and about the state of the earth right now. And, you know, I've told you about many of these movies that I've seen. And each one seems to be an evolutionary process towards exactly what Jesus is teaching. In the revealing word of unity, it says that the earth represents body consciousness. We know that our physical organism, that's our human body, is very related to the earth. Like I told you about all those rivers, rivers and streams are like veins and capillaries, and how the life flows through them is very similar. The soil is much like our flesh, but it's also relative to mind. So when you listen deeply to the earth and you listen deeply to your body, you begin to sense what's behind it, underneath it, more essential. You begin to intuit the messages of life. So there's this fella in this movie, and he's a farmer who he says, I'm actually a rancher. He said, I love ecosystems. And he had a farm, and he was doing monoculture like everybody else, where they, you know, till the land down to bare dirt, and then they chemically amend the soil, and they plant their seeds, and the government does their, they pay them for a certain amount of crops that are produced, and their cattle feed in these feedlots, they call them, and they showed pictures of them, big open fields of dirt, where they pour certain feeds that they grow into these big troughs. Well, anyway, he was doing that, and the farmers pretty much struggled to make a living. Well, then a hailstorm came, and it wiped out any hope of a crop. And then the next year, another hailstorm came, same thing, wiped out everything. He said, boy, this isn't good. Maybe next year will be better. And then a lot of rain came, and it just washed out everywhere. And you can see on dirt, when a lot of rain lands on dirt, it doesn't soak into the soil. It rolls off it and then evaporates. So they can never really grow. And I think one other very unfavorable condition happened. And he finally said, you know, this isn't working. And he said, what can I do? And he started to research it. And he figured out what everybody's talking about. He figured out what's called regenerative farming, regenerative growth, exactly what Charles Fillmore talked about. And what ended up happening is he started to let his cows roam, and he started to let his fields grow naturally. And as these things started to grow, this great harmony started to happen all by itself. And it happened in just a year. All this struggling that he'd done, he said in a year, it turned around so significantly, he couldn't believe it. And so there's a picture of his, you know, he was out in his fields. And there's just all this life. There's these cows and livestock eating the stuff that's growing. And then they poop, and their poop is this awesome, rich fertilizer that goes back into the earth. So there's this whole symbiosis happening without much intervention and without any chemicals, natural regenerative farming. And so he shows on his property, he's got his land, and these are acres and acres. And from his property all the way that way, it's all green and beautiful and growing. And from this way over, it's just dirt. And he said, that's my neighbor. He's got his land is chemically fallowed, he said, where they spray a bunch of chemicals on it. So it kills it, makes it go fallow, and they think that it regenerates the dirt, but it doesn't. The only thing growing was what's resistant to Roundup, which is glyphosate, which is poison to human beings. And that's going into the food, and it's killing the soil. Well, think about that in terms of the human body. So he says, over there is dirt, and over here is soil. And he digs into his soil just somewhere and pulls up this rich, vibrant soil that's ripe for growing. And then he's got stuff growing that's not monocultured. It's all interspersed with all this life. And he said, not only is it beautiful and sustainable and regenerative, but he said, the money that I make per... however they measure it, is way more than these other farmers are making by chemically destroying everything, trying to chemically manipulate. You see, it's funny. The machines are cutting into the soil and leaving these scars. Can you see? And he says he uses these machines that are very gentle, and they're very nice to the soil. We start to treat things with that reverence and that love. And it's very interrelated. And so I started thinking about all this, and I'm like, wow, we're coming to a point, Charles Fillmore talked about it, where we've got to start taking care of the body through divine life. Divine life has its own intelligence. And human beings, me included, get caught up in, I call it dollar signs in the eyes. We get greedy, we want money, and then we get afraid because we're not going to have enough. And so then something like a government comes along and says, well, no, I'll pay you to do this. And we say, okay, I'm going to be taken care of. So we just do it. But it's all up here. We never felt what the earth wanted. We never felt what the soil wanted. And we never felt what our bodies wanted to be whole in the way that the Fillmores were talking about. Now you think about the Fillmores. What did they do? They refined the food they put in their body. And they refined it enough to where they finally had their own farm. And they did regenerative farming. In that movie, one of the things that struck me, they interviewed a gal at the end, towards the end of it. She said, this is not about religion, and this is not about politics. She said, this is about love. Now, I don't know about you, but don't you find in every religious practice, every spiritual tradition, every person that you interact with, when they really get down to it, it's always love. It's this simple thing, God is love. It's not the intellectual understanding that is God. It's the love that gives life to everything, to you and I. It's the love that we feel with our family, with our friends. It's what happens when you hug someone. The love of your heart goes into the love of their heart. You connect that way. I don't know if I'm rambling or making sense, but I know that I'm saying what I want to say. And I want to read from Myrtle Fillmore now. And this is a book called How to Let God Help You. And it's a collection of Myrtle's writings. She says, perhaps long ago you conceived the idea that you could reach heaven only without your flesh. You may have had the early day church belief that the body is dust and that it must be humiliated and neglected if the soul is to be truly loyal to Christ and prepared for entrance into glory. Really check and see if that's true for you. Is there an old lingering religious belief that you have to earn Christ, that you have to earn your ability to deeply intuit the world? She says, such notions are not true to Jesus Christ's teachings. They do more to tear down the soul and body than the so-called sins of this world. What she's saying is that the way that we think and believe and feel about ourselves has more to do with the condition of our life than what people tell us is our sins and where we're wrong. In other words, you have the ability within yourself to root out the error in your own consciousness that produces the things in your life that you do not want and that we do not want. She says very simply, and this is so Myrtle Fillmore, so just make up your mind that you are not going to worry about overcoming. If I could be free of trying to overcome my problems, what would that be like? Think about that. Instead of overcoming, what if I just deeply listened? What if I could let go of the idea of doing so much and let the Spirit show me what needs to be done? The time will come when we can draw forth from the universal mind stuff just the elements we need in the right proportion and relation to maintain the proper balance in our whole organism, that we can literally draw it forth from the invisible into presence, into being. Isn't that what the farmer did? He gave up all his notions, he gave up trying to overcome, and he surrendered to simply intuition. He started to listen, what needs to happen here. And now he hooked up with another guy who does regenerative stuff, and they travel around the world teaching farmers who have barren soil how to grow this way, and they never believe it. They never believe it. He says, I guarantee you, if you let me work with you, we'll turn your place around and get it going like this. And every time he said, they're just like this. Nope. Until they say yes, and then they go, wow, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't believe it. I am confident, says Myrtle, when we shall be able to draw chemical substance from the fourth dimensional realm down into our physical bodies. But in the meantime, we need to make practical the knowledge we have concerning bodily renewal through using intelligence and discrimination, particularly in the selection of our food. She's not talking just about the food that we eat. She's talking about the food, the manna from heaven. So I was thinking about all this stuff and contemplating it and feeling it and thinking about this trip to Hawaii and thinking about what I had experienced through the earth talking to me and this movie. I think I watched it actually on the plane, and it just, there's this message that's trying to come through. So I said, Jesus, what's the message? We always ask, because Jesus is kind of our guru in a way, the one who has gone before us to do the work, to lay a hold of just what we're talking about today. And he said, well, Kevin, it's the parable of the sower. And so I just want to share with you the parable, and I'm not going to try to break it down. I want to end with it to leave us some considerations for the new world that's being birthed now in our midst. So this is from Luke chapter 8. When a great crowd gathered and people from their town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And think about that. You and I are the sower, and the seed that we're sowing is our consciousness. So a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now that's a little confusing. What it basically means is that the apostles, the disciples, were in a state of receptivity. They were listening to Jesus. That's why they ask him, what do you mean? It's like us going to headquarters, as Charles Fillmore called it, saying, Spirit, what do you mean? Show me. And so Jesus said, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Now that sounds very religious, but what is that really? And when you think of devil in terms of what we do to destroy our life as just a consciousness, not a dude with horns, but a consciousness, we allow that to come in and take hold of us, and we don't get to experience these things, and it's what's happening when things are dying all around us. Remember, divine life only builds up. And then he says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They don't find any soil. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. When the going gets tough, I'm going to go back to the old way. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. I want to be that guy. Now, that farmer is stuck in my mind. He calls himself a rancher because he likes those living systems of animals and plants and the cycle of life. Isn't he this guy? Right? Because he heard this word and he held it fast in an honest and good heart that said, hey man, this is awesome. My farm is thriving. So why wouldn't he just stay at his own farm and thrive in his own world? He said, I got to take this to the people. And that's exactly what he said. He brought it out with patience and endurance, and he let the guys fold their arms, and he said, but listen, just what Jesus said, listen, this is how you cultivate life. This is how we get what we actually really want, by sharing it with each other. And slowly the arms unfold, and the heart opens, and they receive. And that's where you and I are at. With all this stuff going on, what a weird couple of months. We've got a worldwide pandemic, a massive election that just happened. We've got stuff flying everywhere. We've got opinions, worries, fears, concerns, rights, wrongs, goods, bads, good guys, bad guys. But when we let it all go, when we quit trying to overcome it, and we simply listen to what the Spirit is trying to say through all things, that divine life is realized, and we start to go, that little bee is talking to me. He said, hey, I'm alive. Take care of me. That's how I want to live my life. Thank you. Amen.